We've been looking at our calling as followers of Christ to offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices in order to follow His will. That's how we follow His will, is by offering ourselves to Him, dying to self and living for God. And the reason we do that is so that we represent Jesus well in our lives here on earth. We want people that we interact with to see Jesus in us, to see Him as He lives His life through us and as we submit to Him and follow His will. And so that's where we have been. So far we have looked at general instructions on how to do that. So the first week we looked at Romans chapter 12 verse 1, which says we're to be motivated to do these things by His mercy. So you look at all the mercy that God has shown us that Paul spells out in the first 11 chapters of Romans, and he says it's because of that mercy that you offer yourselves to God as living sacrifices. So we've looked at that. We've also seen that in verse 2 that we shouldn't conform. The way that we live according to God's will is not to, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Okay, be changed by the renewing of your minds. And we talked about how our minds are renewed last week, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so this week, what we are going to be looking at, we're going from the general now to the specific. We're going to look at some specific situations about here's what it looks like to live according to God's will. And if you live this way, you are going to be representing Jesus well in the world around you. The first situation we're going to look at is what God's will is when it comes to our roles within the church family. So look around, you're not alone this morning, you're part of a church family, and you have a role in that church family. And the question is, what's God's will when it comes to your role in the church family? This must have been pretty important in this letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, because this is the first specific situation that he deals with, and in general, it's a very important situation for us as well here in the 21st century. One of the things that I think we can tend to do that you're going to see Paul bring up in this passage is that we can think of that our role, our ministry that we're involved in, the things we're passionate about in ministry that are most important to us should also be most important to everyone else in the church. Okay, so the things that we care the most about, we think, well, the whole church should care most about this. I've seen it a lot of times as a pastor in the church. I've seen an example of this and what can happen when that happens in a church, in a church plant about 10 years ago up in Birchwood. So I think most of you know there's a Birchwood, I don't know, a couple hours from here, northeast, I believe. That church started because they had a very strong children's ministry going on in a public school, and a lot of kids were showing up, and the parents started talking about how it would be wonderful to start a church together. And so they eventually contacted the Christian and Missionary Alliance and went through the process of starting a church. And part of that process, it came time for them to call a pastor, their first pastor, and they welcomed him in with lots of hope and anticipation. But after a while, he started to notice that the children's ministry was kind of a sacred cow, okay, which means it was seen by some as the most important thing in the church and had to be their highest priority. So the children's ministry ought to be central, is the feelings and the thoughts of some. But the new pastor didn't see it that way. He saw that, yes, children's ministry is important, but there were many other important ministries as well, and those ministries were being neglected, and so he wanted to put effort into those ministries and have much more of a balanced ministry approach as a church. So he tried to do that, but it didn't work. He kept running into this clash in vision and direction with the people that wanted to keep children's ministry at the center. And unfortunately, what happened is, I'm guessing on this, but it wasn't very long. I would say probably within a year, the pastor wasn't able to make any headway. There was, of course, an internal conflict, and the church never took off, and it ended up closing its doors. And eventually, even the children's ministry fell apart. Things were so lopsided in one direction that the church couldn't move forward. And that's an example of what can happen when people see their role or their area of ministry, the things that they're really passionate about, as more important really than any other, and think that everybody should also think that way. Paul had seen that problem in the churches that he had planted and was a part of and had heard about. And so he addressed this issue in a couple of letters in order to help the people see that error and then to show them, here's God's will when it comes to your role in the church and your ministry, your gifting in the church family. So that's what we're going to look at, one of those passages where he does that in the book of Romans. The question for you to consider is, what is God's will for you and your role here at East Lincoln? Does he want you to push the things that you're passionate about to try to make everyone care about them like you do? That's the area of our lives and this church family that is addressed in this passage that we're going to look at. And Paul helps us to see, first of all, what the pattern of the world is that we're supposed to avoid in this area. And then he shows us what God's will is for us to pursue and follow. So go with me. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 3 through 8 and read all the way through that and then kind of break it down this morning. Paul starts out with this these specific instructions now in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we as Christians, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So you see a pattern here that Paul follows. Don't conform to this way, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's God's will in how you should look in this at this area of your role in the church family. So he mentions the worldly pattern right away in verse 3. So look at verse 3. We are to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That's the worldly pattern. That's how things operate in the world. You could generally say it's having an egocentric perspective where you see your own stuff as more important than the whole, an egocentric perspective. My gifts are more important, my needs are more important, my problems are more important, my perspective and opinion is more important, and so on. And it's very common in our world today, very common among people in the world, and very common in the church. And what Paul brings to the forefront in this passage is thinking that your role in the church family or your ministry is more important than others or more important than the whole. Okay? He brings that forward. We often do this, I think, you know, most of us can see that we often think when it comes to leadership positions or teaching, preaching positions or positions, roles that have a lot of influence, we tend to think those are more important, whether we're in them or not. That is very common also in our world where we tend to think those positions are most important. But in the church, it's not just that we can think of those positions as most important. It can also be any position or role or ministry that we're most passionate about. So it can be in the area of missions. It can be in children's ministry, like I brought up at the beginning. It can be in the area of outreach and evangelism or prayer or youth ministry or serving and those types of things. These are all important areas of ministry, and we can be, you know, you probably will find yourself, because of how God does things and arranges things in a church family, that you're most passionate about maybe one of those things. But the caution here that Paul's giving is don't conform to the pattern of the world where you think of yourself, your role, your ministry as more important or too highly, okay? There's major problems that come in a church family related to this. It can cause a lot of conflict, as you saw in the story that I brought up first. It causes division. It can bring up guilt and shame. You know, why aren't you doing this? You know, that idea of it, you know, it can just happen where you feel guilty for not being as passionate as this person about this thing, and yet the reality is that you're probably passionate about something. It's just not quite as much about that, okay? So, lots of issues can come up with this area. And so Paul says, don't think of yourselves that way. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Instead, what God's will is that you're to think of yourself with sober judgment. And sometimes I think we can look at that verse and think that Paul's saying, don't think so highly of yourselves, think lowly of yourself. Like go into some self-loathing, think negatively. And he's not saying that, okay? That's not what sober judgment is. Sober judgment basically means that think of yourself with an accurate understanding. I was thinking this morning that if you're drunk versus sober, okay? If you're drunk, you're probably not thinking real accurately about yourself. I would guess it would be drunk people that like think they can fly off of a building or something. And you can't, okay? Think of yourself with sober judgment, like realistically, an accurate understanding of yourself. Doesn't mean looking down on yourself or having a negative self-image or self-loathing. Paul actually tells us what it means in these verses, and I believe it is still in verse 3, where he explains that it means we're to see ourselves rightly through the lens of faith that God has given to us. So he's given each of us a measure of faith by which we're to see our roles through. And when we look through those eyes of faith, we no longer see ourselves or certain people as more important than others in the church. Paul points out in verses 4 and 5 that instead we see ourselves as one of many important members of the body of Christ. Okay? Each part is important, but no part is more important than the rest or than the whole. We are to recognize that we each have a role in the church family, and that role is important and needed, but it's not more important than the rest. Okay? So that's generally the idea here. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't elevate your ministry, your role as being most important, but think soberly. Think sober judgment. Use sober judgment. God's given you faith to be able to see this way, and through that faith, you should see that you're one important member of a whole body of important members. Okay? So that's what Paul's getting at here. This was a big problem in churches. There was another church, the church in Corinth, where this was a huge problem, and Paul spent 3 chapters in 1 Corinthians addressing this problem. I wanted to read a little bit about what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 26. I'll have it up here. It might be a little small, but hopefully you can read that. Here's what he says to that church. He says, for the body, he goes back to this metaphor of the human body, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. That's thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Nor again the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So you can hear him just say in many different ways, listen, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Or don't think of yourself more lowly than you ought. You are important, but you're not more important than everybody else. Okay? Very clear. This is the way that you're to look at yourself and others when it comes to your role in the church family and understanding what God's will is. If you're going to represent Jesus well in the world, that's how you need to think about yourself. I want you to test yourself this morning. Okay? Forget anything that I probably should have asked this at the beginning. Forget anything I just said or that you saw Paul see. What do you think is the most important role or ministry here at East Lincoln? Okay, just be honest with yourself, maybe yourself 20 minutes ago. What do you think is most important at East Lincoln? Okay, does somebody come to mind? Does an area of ministry come to mind as being most important? Okay, it's common, so if that happened, like, you're not alone, all right? We tend to think this way. Who or why do you think their role is most important? Okay, it can be a variety. It might be that you think, I'm not going to say names, but worship leaders, okay, that their role is most important in the church family. It might be that we think that the elders are most important in the church family. It might be that you think the prayer warriors are the most important, or the people who are doing children's ministry are most important, or youth ministry, okay? If there's a role or ministry that you think is more important than all the rest, is that a worldly pattern, or is that God's will? I think what Paul's pointing out is that's a worldly pattern, okay? We are to avoid thinking that way. So if you begin to think that this is most important, check yourself. What I think Paul is saying is that, yes, that's important, but so are all the rest. And God didn't arrange the members of the church so that everyone is going to think that's most important. If they don't think that's most important, that's probably accurate because other things are just as important, okay? Some of you may have thought about me because I'm the lead pastor. I think it's pretty common among Christians and churches to think, well, the most important role in the church is the pastor. And I think that's something, I know that's something to be avoided, okay? I am not most important, and no pastor is most important in any church family. The role of a pastor is important, but it isn't more important than anyone else in this church family, and I hope you believe that. I believe that. Or another way to say it is this: your role is just as important as my role when it comes to East Lincoln Alliance Church. Your role is just as important as my role. Do you believe that? Is that how you're living within the church family? Okay, Paul has a lot to say about these things. When you came to the church this morning, what if when you came in you saw the grass was like 2 or 3 feet tall? Would that be a problem? What if you didn't receive any kind of greeting when you walked through the doors? What if the garbage was overflowing in the garbage cans and it stunk bad in here? What if the temperature, which some of you may think, what if the temperature was too hot? You know, what if it was 85 degrees in here when you walked in here? What if it was 55 degrees in here or 45 in the winter? What if there was no music? What if the microphones didn't work, which can happen, actually. And it's very disruptive, isn't it? Like, if this mic wasn't working right now, if the grass was 2 feet tall, if it stunk when you walked into the church building, it really wouldn't matter what I have to say. That role of preacher, pastor, whatever, quickly diminishes. Okay, you can see every role is important, and that's just a small snapshot of our church family. No part is better than the rest. Every part's important. Whatever your part is, matters. When it comes to the church, this worldly pattern of thinking can focus all the attention and the glory on individual people or individual areas of ministry rather than on Jesus, rather than on who Jesus is and the mission that he's given to us. And we all know that Jesus alone is worthy to be praised and adored. And we want to direct attention to him by doing our part. And so Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Think of yourself with sober judgment through the eyes of faith God's given you. You're equal in importance to all the other members, and your role is to demonstrate the glory of Christ and not draw attention to yourself or anybody else. That brings us to these last few verses in Romans 12, where Paul talks about the importance of not only seeing your role that way, seeing it as important and seeing every role as important, but actually to do something about that. Are you plugged in and using your role to strengthen the church for the glory of Jesus, or are you leaving that up to other people because you think their role is more important? In verse 6, look at verse 6. I think we got that up here. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Okay? Don't miss that little phrase. Like, you've been given gifts to use. Use them. He then goes on to list a variety of them within the church that are important. The intent here, to me, in looking at it in the context, is it seems to be that for each of these, you're to not think of yourself more highly than you ought if you have that gift. So let's just walk through this. If you have the gift of prophecy, and I'm not going to go into definition. I'm just going to kind of say what I think these things are, or that'll be implied. If your gift is prophecy, don't think that your ability to hear from the Lord is most important. Don't think that everybody should be listening to me. God's speaking to me. Everyone should be listening to me. Don't think that way. If you believe God has given you a word to be shared with others, do so. Use the gift. Do it. Fulfill your role and let God use it as he wills to build the church for the glory of Christ. If your gift is serving, watch out so that you don't do it in order to be seen and praised by others and elevate the gift of serving as most important and worthy of honor. Do it with joy as unto the Lord to build up the church for the glory of Jesus, whether anyone sees or not. And I'll add in here that I do think we should notice people's acts of service. And we should honor them and appreciate them and thank them. And we see that throughout Scripture that we're to honor and thank and appreciate people for using their gifts and for serving in various ways. But if you're the one doing the service, I think Paul's instruction here is don't seek that honor. Don't look for that honor. Don't be motivated by that honor. Be motivated by God's mercy and use your gift for the glory of Jesus. If your gift is teaching, don't act as if your role is greater in importance than others. Okay, your role is important, and you should seek to do it well, but it's not superior to any other role. Don't seek to draw attention to yourself, which I think we have a lot going on in our culture with celebrity preachers, and whether they're seeking that attention or not, I think what happens is we see that happen, and if you have the gift of teaching, I can speak from experience. I have wanted to be the center of attention and want people to think, and you can elevate that role of teaching more highly than it ought to be. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And listen to this. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So again, Paul is like, don't draw attention to yourself. You're drawing attention to the wrong place. Use your gift to draw attention to Jesus and to bring glory to Jesus. If your gift is exhortation, which I understand to be giving godly counsel to people, don't think of your gift or yourself as being a wise sage or rabbi that deserves more respect than others. Use your gift to strengthen and encourage people so that the church is built up and Jesus is glorified. If your gift is contributing, so if God has gifted you with money and finances or giving to meet the needs of ministry, don't think you're of higher importance because you have the means to make stuff happen. Use your money as a gift from God to build Christ's kingdom so he's glorified through you. If your gift is leadership, don't be like the worldly leaders that we see who seek admiration and attention. Use your gift with zeal to influence the people around you to pursue Jesus and his mission, not to be impressed by you. And then finally, if your gift is doing acts of mercy, don't demand that everyone else be just like you in their level of compassion and meeting the needs of others, and then get frustrated when they're not like you. The truth is, they're not like you. That's what the Scripture teaches, and that's okay. Use your gift with cheerfulness to demonstrate the mercy of Jesus. So I think it's very clear this morning from this passage and also from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God's will is that we each use the gifts that God has given us. And you can see in all of them that there's to be this attitude of humility and sober judgment. That's how we live according to God's will in this area, this situation, this area of our lives. That's how we represent Jesus well when it comes to our role in the church family and what we're supposed to do and how that relates to others. And so the question that I want to ask each of us this morning is, as you look at your life, what is God leading you to do? You know, do you sense that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something in response to this teaching today? Maybe you recognize that you have been putting too much attention on your role or ministry and that you've been causing people to focus on you instead of Jesus. That's an area, of course, that needs repentance and it needs humility. It needs sober judgment. Confess it to God. Pray that the Holy Spirit would empower you to change. If you think about Jesus, because that's our primary goal, we're seeking to become like Jesus, to love Jesus, become like him in every way. Think about him as superior as Jesus was. I mean, there's no question about it. How did he act? He always walked with humility and sober judgment before the Father. He didn't seek to elevate himself to a position of power and authority. He obeyed the Father. He sought to glorify the Father. And he did that perfectly. And so we too need to glorify Jesus by having that same attitude. So if you err on that side of thinking too highly, I think that's probably the application for us. But you might think of yourself too lowly and or may not be fulfilling your role in ministry. So you might be thinking too lowly of yourself, that your position really isn't that important, or you've been just content with just kind of being a spectator. I think as we grow in Christ, his Spirit in us moves us to get involved and to no longer just be a spectator, but to do your part. Use your gift. As God has apportioned to each, use your gift. That's good and pleasing to him. And just know, and you've heard it many times already, your gift is important. Your role is important in the church family for the glory of Christ. And so seek to find ways that you can build up the church and Christ's kingdom. We're going to move now into time for singing a couple more songs as we near kind of the last part of the service, or enter into the last part of the service. And as we sing these songs, maybe take some time to pray and just realign yourself then with God's will. Wherever you may be, have seen that you may be erring, and maybe you're not erring in this area, but if you do, Take some time to confess and just pray as we're singing these songs, and let the Holy Spirit bring transformation as He renews your mind. Let's pray. Thank You for Your holy word, Father, that You inspired long ago, that You gave to Paul in this case. Thank You for preserving Your word through the ages, and that we can come and humble ourselves before it, because doing so is really humbling ourselves before You. I think You've clearly revealed Your will to us through this passage of Scripture, and I pray that we would just be humble in our spirits as we bow before You and worship You and seek to become more like You. Do Your good work in us so that we'll glorify Christ and not the roles and the gifts and the ministries that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.